Good evening, dear brethren. Good evening, Brother Joseph.
Good evening, praise the Lord.
Or good morning, depends when you listen to this. Tonight we are live, but maybe later somebody will listen in the morning, so we tell you also good morning.
Yeah, thank you. Somebody was listening from Japan.
Yes?
Yeah, also from the United States. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Right, it's true. So we love you. We are happy to be here with you. And tonight in our studio we have more than just the translator, Brother Joseph and the MC. We also have some sweet
visitors.
Sweet what? Gabriel.
Hi.
Hi, David.
God bless you.
Hi, Tim.
Hi.
So we are here. We have a few brethren with us to support us in the studio. And we pray that tonight is going to be a blessed evening. We are ready for some exciting time, Brother Joseph, to talk about, as usual, about the end time. But not just about the end time. But we have some specific questions for you, Brother Joseph, tonight.
Amen.
Amen. The first question I would like to start with is, for a long time you are saying we live in the end time. And you've been preaching that we live in the end time. But for those who are not so used to this, or maybe they don't know the Bible so well, I would like to ask you, why do you think we live in the end time?
Well, we are in the end time because all the signs have been fulfilled. Mostly the signs that Jesus gave in the end time chapters of the Gospels, mainly Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, Luke 17. Like those signs are all fulfilled. That's how we know for sure. Okay, the signs are all fulfilled. You can see there is a whole list. The biggest chapter is Matthew 24. You know, everything is fulfilled. There are about 10 signs. Famines, wars, earthquakes.
But there have always been famines and wars and earthquakes. Mm-hmm. Why do you think now we really are in the end time?
Well, first of all, these things have been increasing. You know, if you go on the internet and you check the increasing frequencies of the earthquakes, you will see that they are getting more and more and more and more. Before there used to be a big earthquake every 500 years, then every 200, then every 100 years, every 50 years, every 20 years, every 10 years, and now there is one almost every week or two. I'm talking about big ones. And then there are places like California, which they have earthquakes every day. Okay, there are thousands of earthquakes a month in California.
But besides the signs, there is something even more specific that makes you really believe that we are in the end time?
There are many, many signs, like Israel is a nation again. There are signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, on the earth. There are stars, crucifixes appearing in the stars. Like there are galaxies that have been discovered where there is a cross in the middle. There are many, many signs. The financial system is collapsing. In Daniel 11, 20 and 21, it talks about that when the Antichrist is going to rise. Verse 21, then immediately before, verse 20, talks about there's going to be a raiser of taxes, which seems a perfect photo of IMF, international
banking. So you're
saying
the financial crisis is another sign of the end time?
Yeah, definitely, because that will have to introduce the mark of the beast, 666. Mm-hmm. See, this financial crisis, the reason it cannot end, and it's impossible to end, all right, is because it will lead to the mark of the beast, Revelation 13, a financial system. Nobody can buy or sell without the mark of the beast, which Revelation 14, it says that anybody receives, it goes to hell, to the lake of fire, to be tormented forever.
So, Brother Joseph, you're saying because of all these signs, the increase of these signs, earthquakes, famines, that they are increasing, that's a big sign that we're living in the end time. Then you're saying the financial crisis, it's a sign we're living in the end time. There is signs in the sun and in the moon. Is there something even more specific that makes you really believe? And tonight we're going to talk about preparation for the end time. How can we motivate the brethren? Why do they need to prepare? Why do you really believe we're so close?
Yeah, that's a lot of questions.
Why do you believe we're so close?
Yeah, you said, is there something more specific? Well, you know, there is almost more specific. There is homosexuality, which is becoming more and more legalized.
You meaning the iniquity? Increasing.
Yeah, well, no, homosexuality is one of the main signs, mm-hmm. Because there are countries in Eastern Europe which they could not join European Community if they would not make laws in favor of homosexuals.
Romania was one of them.
Yeah, of course. And So this is like the maximum of iniquity. That's why God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. So that's one of the biggest signs, to be specific. And then you ask a preparation. We need to prepare practically and spiritually. And tonight we can talk about that.
In fact, yes. I would like tonight if we can talk about, because, okay, you're telling us we live in the end time. And yes, it's true. Even atheists are telling us that we feel that we live in the end time. And tonight we would like to talk about preparation, both spiritual and physical, practically. Now, my first question, Brother Joseph, that I would like to put is, I met a person recently, and many people, not just this one person that I met recently, said, it's easy for you as a church mission to be prepared for the end time because you work in unity. You all have one goal of witnessing and really living for Jesus. But what about me? I'm alone. Me as a lone person, how can I prepare to be victorious through the end time?
Well, it's kind of having the oil in the lamps. It's kind of being wise virgins. Now, it's not that we are any superior of anybody. It's just a decision we made to be a biblical church.
So anybody can do it?
Anybody can do it. Yeah, in any church you are, any true church, any fellowship, any group of people meeting in a house, it doesn't matter if you're Protestant or Catholic. I know that Protestants and Catholic and Orthodox, they hate each other, etc. Historically, they made wars due to the center, but this is really stupid.
So any church can get together, anybody can just get together and actually fight together through the end time? Anybody, you're saying?
Yeah, most churches are not going to do it because, you see, the last church in the end time, the seventh and last church of the Bible in the book of Revelation chapter 3 is called Laodicea. And it's a very bad church, a church that Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, he will vomit out of his mouth. It's a church that is full of tradition, rituals, blah, blah, but it doesn't have a fruit. So any church could do it, but like almost 99% of the churches are not going to do it because they're deceived. So,
but can we tell them ways how to do it? Just like most churches,
most churches in Germany supported Hitler, in Russia supported Stalin, and so on. It's like the big national churches are usually off the track.
So what's the solution then? Like, in other words, you're saying not to wait on the big national church to inspire me to...
The national church is usually off the track. A national church is like when Jesus came and he found a false religious system. So religion is a creation of the devil to give the world a false picture of God so to spread the atheism. So
what would you tell, for example, this person that asked me, how can I alone prepare for the end time? What would you tell her if she cannot go to her church to get help and get together? And
well, not me. I have nothing to say. Jesus in the Bible says that where two people are together, he is in the middle. In Matthew 18:20, it says two people are gathered together, he is there. But of course today there are the false churches who will accuse you that you're a bunch of devils if you do that, because if you don't go to the church and bring your money there, you are of the devil.
In fact, I know a person that was trying to have a prayer meeting Bible study in her house, and a friend didn't come anymore to the Bible meeting because the priest forbade her to go. Okay, how can you go in a house and pray?
Yeah, thank you for not making names of churches.
Yes.
Because, you see, if you make a name of a church, it's like a religion. You know, some people may think we are against the religion. We are not against any religion. I believe God loves every church. And in every church, there are Judas, there are false Christians. Jesus had the Judas in his own church. He had Ananias and Sapphira in his own church. And Paul was persecuted by the false apostles. It says 2 Corinthians 11, he was persecuted by false apostles. So in the church, in the early church, there were false apostles who were doing miracles, all kinds of stuff. At the same time, a lot of these, in every one of these churches, you find good Christians.
So it's okay to get together in a house
if you talk to the church A, they will tell you that the church B is of the devil and vice versa. But it's not like that. You cannot generalize. In every church, it is good and bad in different proportions. So, conclusion, every church, you'll find people who are truly of God and find people who are truly of the devil.
And you're saying, because in the Bible it says two or three are gathered together in his name, you're saying they can get together, true brethren, and even meet in a house and...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I see that you heard me preaching this before.
No, you just said it right now. You just said it right now, and I was telling you that the priest of a certain religion forbade this lady to go.
Yeah, it's
but
like
you're saying it's fine.
You see, this priest is a false. He's a false prophet. It's like a priest forbids somebody to meet in a house and pray, and that's absolutely, completely antichrist. Because the Bible says, Acts chapter 5, 42, says every day in the temple, in every house, they did not stop to preach Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, or toward the end of the chapter, you see that the believers were getting together, were breaking the bread and eating together in every house.
So is this the solution for the end time, Brother Joseph? Is that what we need to
absolutely.
Do?
Absolutely.
Tell us more,
absolutely.
Please.
Like the end time is like you should not try to revive every church, because a lot of churches are going to go the way of the Laodicea. Like Jesus did not try to, he didn't waste time reviving the synagogues. He went to the synagogues, he rebuked them, and then he started the true church. The true church, Matthew 18:20, wherever there are two people together, that's a church. Of course, a true church of two people will not remain of two people for very long, because a true church is not a true church unless they evangelize. See, there are people today who are deceived by false doctrines, that they are not called to evangelize, they are not called to give salvation, they are not called to lead the souls to Jesus, they are not called to lead the lost souls to heaven, they are not called to preach the gospel to lost sheep. These are satanic infiltration of Christianity. In reality, Jesus said in Matthew 10:38, he said, if a man, Matthew 10:38, he said, if a man does not pick up his cross and come after me, he's not worthy of me. So there is not a Christian who is not called to pick up his cross and follow Jesus. There are a Christian who is not worthy. So how can you pick up the cross of Jesus and follow Jesus without preaching the gospel? That's what Jesus did from the morning until evening for 3.5 years. Jesus, 100% of his ministry, 100% of his ministry, was not doing miracle and healing. No, he was preaching the gospel to the lost. And Jesus never started a building filled with believers and preached to them every Sunday morning like it happens today in the sleepy churches. Jesus was always reaching the lost, always reaching. Okay, so conclusion, I want to say this. If you are a true church, all right, or two people, you will never remain of two people. Immediately you become 4, 8, 12, 15, 20, 50, and 100. Only remember, when your church becomes bigger than your house can hold, more than 10 or 20 or whatever, you should split.
Why? You should Why not, are you saying that?
Because it should not fall into the ditch of the devil to build temples, to build church buildings, because church buildings are not scriptural.
So then what's the solution? If we are end up being 50, what do we need to do?
You need to split.
In what one way?
You need to split in different houses.
Uh-huh, in different
houses. If in a church there are 50 families, you have 50 churches, you understand? Those 50 families are supposed to split into 50 churches, or two churches, or three churches, whatever there is an anointing or leadership. You don't need a theology diploma. You just need a diploma in love, in loving Jesus, loving your brothers.
We're going to take a break with a song, and we will continue, dear brethren, in a few minutes. Dear brethren, we are back in the studio with Brother Joseph. God bless you, brother. It was nice. I will make it a very quick summary for those who tuned in right now. One, we were talking, why do we think we're in the end time? We think we're in the end time because of all the signs that are happening around us. Earthquakes, famines, signs in the stars, in the sky. The financial crisis is another sign that the Bible says that will happen in the end time. So Brother Joseph was explaining to us that truly we are living in the end time. And now we are talking about how to prepare. How to prepare to be victorious through the end time. And the last thought that we were left with is house churches. You're saying the brethren need to meet in houses because two or three are gathered together in his name. There he is in the middle. My question is now for you, Brother Joseph. Why we need to meet in houses? Why we cannot just go Sunday to church? Is that not enough to be victorious in the end time?
Well, you can go to church. It's not a sin to go to church, all right? But it is a sin to say that you can only worship God in a church. I'm talking, see, that today the devil has changed the words, okay? The devil is calling the building church. That's is satanic, because the building is not church. The building is a building. In fact, it's dead, all right? In fact, if you read, like Jesus said in Matthew 24, he's talking about the temple. He said, "This shall be destroyed. There shall not be a stone upon another." You see, in the whole Bible, attention, from Genesis to Revelation, there was only one building God authorized to build, and that was in Jerusalem. And in Deuteronomy 12, God said, "Beware that you don't worship God wherever you want. There is only in one place that you can worship God. That was going to be in Jerusalem, and before then, in the tabernacle, you could not offer your sacrifice anywhere else except at the tabernacle or in Jerusalem." Understand? But when the people of God made a religion out of the temple, they made an idol out of the temple. They were worshiping the temple more than God. God cursed the temple.
That's a very strong word.
Yes. In Jeremiah 26, God cursed the temple in Jerusalem.
Okay.
And Jesus fulfilled it. In Matthew 24, said that there shall not be a stone upon another, it shall not be destroyed. Okay, in fact, when Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit from the temple went to heaven.
Okay.
Understand? That's why the curtain broke. So, what I'm trying to say is it's a blasphemy to offer sacrifice to God wherever you want. In the Catholic Church, in the Protestant Church, in the Orthodox Church, wrong.
So what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that you cannot worship God in every temple, every building you wake up in one morning and say God is a Catholic, God is a Protestant, God is a Pentecostal, God is Orthodox. God is not these things. God is God, and we are nobody.
So where should we
all
worship
the religion
the Lord?
Of the world put together are nobody, and God is everything.
Where should we worship then the Lord?
In the true temple of God.
Which is the true temple of God?
Jesus Christ.
Okay, but I don't understand. I worship the Lord in the Jesus Christ. I don't understand. Can you specify?
Everywhere there is Jesus, you can worship him. Where there are two people together, there is Jesus. Matthew 18:20.
So anywhere.
Yes.
Isn't this a contradiction? You just said you cannot worship the Lord anywhere. Now you're saying you can worship him anywhere.
In the Old Testament, you could not worship anywhere except in Jerusalem. Then Jesus came in John chapter 4 and said to the Samaritan, "No more in Jerusalem, no more on this mountain, but in spirit and truth." Now, what's the spirit and truth? Spirit and truth is not a terminology in the dictionary. It's a person. That person is called Jesus Christ. So how do you have Jesus Christ? It takes two believers to get. One is not enough. Two believers to make a church. A word church, ecclesia in Greek, is only plural. So one believer makes a believer. That's it. A saved believer going to heaven. But that's not a church. To have a church, it takes two believers, because the word church is plural. So if you believe and you're alone, you are a believer and God bless you. But if you want to be church, you have to get together at least one more person. So wherever there are two people who truly believe, not false Christians like there are many today, but wherever there are two believers, true believers, together there is Christ. It can be under a tree, it can be under a bridge, it can be on the Mount of Olives, it can be in the house of Martha and Maria and Lazarus. It can be even in a church.
Okay.
It can be in a Catholic church, an Orthodox church. You know, you can be wherever you want. If you can go to a Jehovah's Witness meeting, and you believe that Jesus is God, contrarily to them, what they believe, they don't believe it. But if you be there is Jesus.
Okay, I have a question now, a practical question. So you're saying to get together in a house with true believers. Somebody who doesn't have a theology diploma, they don't know what to do. How should they worship the Lord in their house? What do you suggest practically that they do? Like, hang a sign outside, "We get together every Friday, 3 o'clock. Or can you give us a practical example? How should Christians get together in their house?
The Bible says in Acts 13, chapter 4, verse 13, it says that the disciples were ignorant and the Pharisees were very smart and they had diplomas. In the Bible, the diplomas, the Pharisees who had the theology diploma, and the Pharisees were ignorant.
Okay,
so today there is a worship of the theology diploma. That's Antichrist. You are not supposed to worship a theology diploma. You don't even need it. You need Jesus. The disciples did not have a diploma. So the only diploma you need is a diploma of ignorance, a diploma of love, a diploma of reading the Bible, and preach whatever you know. You don't need to preach.
Get together and just talk about the Lord together. Preach whatever the Lord puts in your heart.
Get together and love the Lord. Get together and I mean, what kind of theology diploma Abraham had? What kind of diploma the ignorant disciples had? Zero. Diploma in fishing, which they would not catch many fish until Jesus came around. Okay, even the fish wouldn't buy the bait. Those guys didn't know even how to catch fish. Jesus had to come and teach them, throw the net to the left or to the right. And then they began to catch some fish. They began to catch some fish with golden coins in their mouth even. You see, the diploma you need a diploma to love God. Here, let me tell you what seminary. See, today there are too many cemeteries and not enough Jesus through seminaries. Okay,
you said seminary or cemetery?
Well, there are two types of seminary. There are a seminary cemetery, which is made by zombie religions. And then there is seminary of Christ, which is where they teach you to love Jesus, preach Jesus, follow Jesus, evangelize them with Jesus, and give your life for Jesus, die for Jesus. Then there is a cemetery of man. They make you worship knowledge, intelligence, doctrine. You see, the Pharisees were the number one in doctrines. Jesus said in Matthew 23:1-3, he said, obey the Pharisees. Whatever the Pharisees say, you do. The Pharisees had the doctrine perfect. They were still going to hell. So you don't need all this knowledge. Because knowledge, the devil has a lot of knowledge. What you need is love. You need love to go give your life for Jesus. Whatever little gospel you know, preach that. Plus, the Pharisees are preachers. The disciples are not preachers, are witnesses. The Pharisees preach what God can do, but he never did it for them. And the disciples, they testify what God did for them. That's the difference. That's why the disciples conquered the world, because they testify what Jesus did. The Pharisees lost the world because they were preaching what God could do.
So, Brother Joseph, I would like to imagine a scenario. Let's say I'm alone, and I say Friday morning, I say to all my friends, Friday evening, come to my house, we're going to worship the Lord together. So they show up at the door. And we are, let's say, 10 people together. I don't have a theology diploma. I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? Here they are, the 10 people
it's
around me in
simple.
The living room.
Yes.
What are we supposed to do?
Very simple. You get on your knees. You say, God, give us your Holy Spirit. And then they will always, in a meeting like that, there will always be somebody who has the anointing to preach. Another is anointed to evangelize. Another anointed to preach. Another anointed to do miraculous healing, hopefully. And if you don't have these gifts, you better pray for that.
I understand.
Understand? So, and then you read a chapter of the Bible. If you don't know what to read, start from the number one book in the New Testament. That's the Gospel of John. Start that chapter by chapter. And as you go through, you can read a chapter or two or three or four or five a day. And then the Holy Spirit began to speak.
So you mentioned about the Holy Spirit. In other words, we need to have the Holy Spirit to be able to have such meetings?
That is the first step. That's the first thing. Get on your knees and pray for the Holy Spirit every day until you explode. Until you are not sure if you have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's not enough you get baptized in Baptist water or Pentecostal water or Catholic water or mineral water. You need to be baptized in the water of the Word of God, or the love of God, or the Spirit of God. And the water is just a symbol. Hello, reveille. It's a symbol. It's a testimony that you went in the water, a dry sinner, you come out a wet one. But there is no, you know, that doesn't save you. What saves you is not the water, it's the water of Christ, the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's Jesus, not the water. In fact, if you notice, Jesus never said to go baptize in water, never. Okay, that was just in the days of John the Baptist.
So in other words,
Jesus said, baptize them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why? Because the baptism of water is it's yesterday. Now it's just symbolic.
So it's a very good point you're saying, because if I have meetings in my house and I get new converts, that doesn't mean that I need to baptize them in water the way they do in the church. But what do I need to do with them?
You can baptize in water, but it's not that the way people in the Bible were not baptized. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, he said, Christ did not send me to baptize.
So you're saying what's essential is the Holy Spirit. So for the new converts that come to my house that I evangelize, I need to pray with them for the Holy Spirit.
Today there is a religious mafia who uses the water baptism to imprison people into their sect. Jesus says you don't have to go to a religious prison. You, wherever there are two people together who love me, I am there. It doesn't matter if the local Christian Pharisee tells you, no, you go to hell. Tell him to go to hell. You understand? It's like you are free.
You didn't answer my question. So I don't need to worry about water baptism for the new converts that come to my house. I need to make sure they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. How do you receive that? You understand why the church don't talk much about the Holy Spirit? Because you're not under the control.
I understand.
You know, Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 13, he said, if you call on the Father in my name, you know, God will give you the Holy Spirit. Anybody who calls for the Holy Spirit, anybody. Okay, Adolf Hitler, Stalin, they would have called on the Holy Spirit in true repentance. God would have given it to them. They would be saved. They would have been missionary. But the reason some sectarian, some false churches, they make such a mafia about the water baptism is because the water, they can control the water. But the Holy Spirit, they cannot.
Amen.
In this sense, so with the water baptism, they make you belong to their prison. They don't tell you that you can get baptized in water wherever you want. You don't have to go get baptized in the Jehovah's Witness, in the Mormons, in some out of the spirit church. You can get baptized in water wherever you want. It doesn't say anywhere I have to be the one baptizing you. Anybody can baptize in water as long as it's the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Joseph. We're going to take a break with a song, a Romanian song called Yel Yeste. And then we're going to come back. I have a question for you, Brother Joseph. Why are house churches important for the end time? That's my next question after the break. God bless you. Stay tuned. Brother Joseph, my question before the break was, why are house churches important for the end time? Why, brethren, is not enough they get together in a normal Sunday morning building? Why do we need to meet in the houses? Why is this important for the end time?
Because if the early church would not have met in the houses, they would never have survived the persecution. If the early church would have been so stupid to make a religious building, the Antichrist would have gotten them every Sunday morning in this building. Do you understand? If the early church would have been worshiping the buildings instead of Jesus like they do today, the Romans would have destroyed them in a couple of weeks. Do you understand? That's why the religions who want a tax exemption, who want to be recognized by the Antichrist governments of this world, who wants the Romanian governments not to charge taxes, the Russian government, American government, the European governments, so they want tax exemption. They want to be recognized by Caesar, recognized by the governments which are antichrist. They want to be recognized by the devil. They have to preach what the devil wants. Nothing. Okay, so the early church survived for 300 years of persecution because of house churches. Okay, it was forbidden in the Old Testament to make temples except in Jerusalem. It was never authorized in the New Testament to make religious temples. Acts 7:48 says God does not live in temples. In Jeremiah 26, God cursed the temple. Why? They were worshiping the walls of the temple instead of obeying.
So in other words, if we get together in houses, we will not be persecuted in the end time?
In the end time, the only way to escape the mark of the beast, the only way to escape persecution, the only way to pray everywhere, worship everywhere, evangelize everywhere, is in your house. And that's a message for the blessed brethren in China. In every nation where the Christians are persecuted and killed, where they are obliged to meet in houses, they are exploding with evangelism. They are exploding with disciples. I checked some statistics. They win between 5 to 10 new converts every week, every church. The average church is 50 members in the persecuted world, China, Sudan, North Korea, Cuba, etc. They win between 5 to 10 average, and some churches even as far as 12 new members every week. That's where the devil is trembling. The reason the Muslims are conquering the West, the reason the the Christians are losing in the West, it's not because the devil is powerful. It's not because Islam is better than Christianity. It's because 99% of Christianity in the West is as dead as a dead corpse in a coffin.
So you're saying when the end time comes, that basically the Antichrist is going to go first to the churches, right? To persecute the Christians.
No, but if you meet even, in a house, even not persecute them in the church. No, because they will receive the mark of the beast.
The churches will receive exactly.
The churches.
How can you say that?
Because historically, the Christians in Germany, they received the mark of Adolf Hitler. The Christians in Italy, they were cooperating with fascism. The Christians in Russia, Romania, everywhere, the official Christians, they were cooperating and licking the feet of the communists. Do you understand? So when the Antichrist comes, they will cooperate with the Antichrist and receive the mark of the beast, just like the evangelical in Germany received the mark of Nazism, just like the Catholic, they had the Inquisitions and the Crusades, just like the Orthodox, they were obeying and speaking so good of Stalin and Marx.
It's quite a broad statement to say that the churches will receive the mark of the beast, everybody.
But look what it says in Revelations. Read Revelation.
Okay.
Revelation 13. Look what it says. I didn't say all, okay? Most. If you want to keep your building, you have to take the mark of the beast and tell everybody what a nice person the Antichrist is. Just like they had to say what a nice person Hitler was, what a nice guy Stalin was in the churches.
I understand.
Okay. So in Revelation 13, verse 3, it says, all the world went after the beast. All the world went after the beast. And then in verse 7, he overcomes the saints. You know, the devil destroys the churches.
All the churches?
All the churches were not the bride, were not virgin with oil. All the church are disobedient. The church are doing nothing. Look around. Don't you see how dead these churches are, most of them? There are sincere people but the leadership is so...
And to those sincere people, you are suggesting to be victorious to the end time, they need to meet in houses.
In houses.
Right, Father Joseph?
You can go...
So in other words, be Philadelphia in your house. Meet with true brethren in your house. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, yes. Like your only hope to continue worshiping God... Okay, not in the church, because most of these false pastors of today, they receive the mark of the beast. Most of the pastors today in the church, they will be exactly like those pastors who are supporting Adolf Hitler. Do you understand? Because salvation is not in going to church and pray. Repeating a prayer. Salvation is not in reading the Bible. Salvation is not in believing in Jesus. Salvation is receiving Jesus and obey Jesus. If you don't obey Jesus, it doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus. I mean, I believe there is a devil. I mean, people believe in Karl Marx. The unbeliever, they wrote that there was a man called Jesus Christ. Believing in Jesus doesn't save you. It's receiving and obeying that gives you salvation. Not give you salvation, give it from Jesus. But the only way you know that you have salvation is if you bring fruits. Jesus said, by the fruits you shall know them. Jesus said in Matthew 7, there shall be false prophets. How do you know the difference? By their fruits. Okay, not because one is Catholic or Protestant. You can be Catholic, Protestant, Pharisees, and Sadducees, and Jews. You can still go to hell. Like Jesus said to the Jews in John chapter 8, he said, you said the children of Abraham? Yes, they were. Circumcised? Yes, they were. Jewish people? Yes, they were. Reading the Bible? Yes, they were. Preaching God? Yes, they were. And then he said, you're the sons of the devil.
So the true brethren need to meet in the houses so they can be victorious through the end time. Now, I have a question. You were saying earlier that it's not enough to just meet in the house, but we need to also go evangelize and make new converts, right? You're saying
some people are discouraged because they say, nobody wants to, but in my church, nobody wants to meet in a house. Of course, let the churches behind and follow Jesus. You need to evangelize and make new brethren. You cannot trust the people who are just brainwashed and sitting in a church bench all their life and do nothing. They are being programmed like robots to sit down and do nothing. You need to evangelize and get new converts, new brethren who will follow, who will get up and go.
But you know, the people who discourage this, you know what they say? They say that in Luke 10, it says, don't go from house to house. So they're saying we shouldn't go from house to house witnessing because the Jehovah Witnesses do that. Mm-hmm. So they're discouraging evangelization.
Mm-hmm. In Luke 10, Jesus is talking about evangelism.
So
Jesus talking about
evangelism. Is it biblical to go house to house Jesus evangelizing?
Jesus is talking about, if you read carefully that, he's talking about, can you read the scripture? Just read it. Luke 10. Look. What do you have? Luke 10,
Luke
what?
10, 7, part B.
Okay. It says, in verse, begin a little before, okay? It says, verse 5, whatever house you enter, say peace be to this house. So if the house is not worthy, shall it turn back to you, correct? And then verse 7, it says, eat and drink whatever they give you, correct? Yes. So it's talking about eating and drinking here. Okay, so what scripture do you have? Seven. Go not from house to house.
So they say that we shouldn't go witnessing from house to house.
You see, the false prophets, they do this all the time. They take half a scripture and just ride it as a horse until judgment day. You don't do that. You need to read the whole passage because usually the scripture before and after has the answer. I mean, just about always. But the devil always casts a little scripture. Your angel will support you in your hands and jump off the cliff. Excuse me. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Keep reading. So, he says here, don't go from house to house. What is he talking about? Jesus is talking about evangelism in this chapter. But in verse 7, he's not talking about evangelism. He's not talking about go to the house to preach the gospel. He's talking about go to a house and eat and drink whatever they give you. That's what he says in verse 7. Shall I read the whole scripture? And in the same house, remain. Eat, remain. In other words, don't go from house to house. Understand? Remain there. Eating and drinking such things they give you, etc. Go not from house to house. In other words, don't be a beggar. Don't go from house to house with a bag and pack all the stuff. Eating and drink in the name of Jesus. Next house. More. Wait a second. I need to rent a truck because now here I cannot carry the stuff you give me. Quick, Peter. Judas, bring the money bag here. We need to go from house to house in the name of Jesus. All the money we're going to make. Jesus said, don't go from house to house like the beggars do.
He says,
this chapter is about evangelizing. But in verse 7, okay, he's talking about eating and drinking. In other words, when you go evangelizing, I've been doing lots of evangelistic trips, and a lot of time we don't have food, we don't have money, and people give us food. But don't go from house to house to see who gives you the best food and then you go sell it or something. Don't go from house to house. He's not talking, even there's a chapter of evangelization, this don't go from house to house, he's not talking about preaching the gospel. He's talking about don't go there and take the money and the food and then go to the next house. I said, the other house gave me more than you. Are you going to be less?
So we can go from house to house witnessing. It's not just the Jehovah Witnesses
Jehovah Witnesses, they do good. Just because
so we can go from house
but
to
just
house.
Just because the devil uses a guitar, that doesn't mean I cannot. Because the Jehovah's go from house to house, not going to preach the gospel in every house. But look what the Bible says. Did Jesus preach the gospel in every house? Absolutely.
Tell us.
Yeah, look. Did the apostle went from house to house? Look, let's go to Acts chapter 2, okay, and Acts chapter 4, look. In Acts 2, verse 46, they continued daily in one accord in the temple and breaking the bread from house to house. Okay. Then Acts 5, 42, what does it say? It says, and daily in the temple and in every house. In the temple is not Christian churches. Attention, this is a temple in Jerusalem. Okay, they were going to the temple because there was a temple. But that was the only authorized temple. The temples of today, they're not authorized. No, don't get it wrong. Don't get mistaken. Some people say, it says in the temple we should go to the church. The churches are not temples. The churches is me and you. The church is not a house. The church is you. The church is not brick and cement and windows. Church is you.
Amen.
Okay, so It says temple in Jerusalem. It doesn't say the Christian church, believe me. Because in the whole New Testament, Christian church is strictly ecclesia. What is that? Group of people, believers. You can read that in Romans 16:5, 1 Corinthians 16:19.
Can you repeat again the scriptures, please?
Romans 16:5, 1 Corinthians 16:19. What does it say? Salute the church that meets in your house. Meets in your house. Attention, the church is not the house. It's the people that meet in the house.
Amen.
So the devil has changed the meaning, understand? So today, church doesn't mean anymore necessarily people. It can mean a dead building full of cement. But that's unscriptural.
Amen.
So the Bible says they were breaking the bread, eating from house to house. Preach the gospel from house to house. Acts 5:42. So don't listen to the false prophets.
Amen.
If you don't go preach the gospel from house to house, the devil has stolen from you the greatest mission field of the world. In fact, he has stolen from you the strategy that you're going to overcome the Antichrist. How do you think you're going to hide when the Antichrist comes, the tribulation comes? You're going to hide on top of a mountain? Where are you going to go hide? In the catacombs under Rome? You're going to go be hiding in every house you are.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Shall we take a song break, Brother Joseph? And we will be back. God bless you, dear brethren. We will be back in a few minutes. We are back again with Brother Joseph. God bless you, Brother Joseph.
Bless you.
A resume of the last few minutes. We need to meet in the houses because that's the way we're going to survive through the end time.
And don't worry what the Pharisees are saying.
Amen.
Show them the Bible.
Amen. Amen. Because the true church is the brethren. It's not the bricks, so we can meet anywhere. And that's how we're going to survive through the end time, because that's the way we will be able to not be persecuted, because the Antichrist will persecute the big buildings and the tax exemption buildings. So that's just a resume.
They will get the mark of the beast.
Exactly, exactly. Now, you said that we can meet with brethren in my house. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll invite, we are 50 in my church, I'll invite all of them to my house. But how can I discern between true brethren and false brethren? Because you're saying to meet together with true brethren, but there are also false brethren around.
Yeah, in the chapter of the Great Tribulation, the Antichrist, Daniel 11:34, it says, many shall join deceivingly. Also, in Romans 2:4, it talks about false, Galatians 2:4, it talks about false brethren. So in Galatians 2:4, it says, false brethren who came in unaware. So, to spy as our liberty. So, it's like if you belong to a normal church of 50 people, today, most churches of 50 people, most churches, you're not going to find one who is willing. Like the true brethren are not the ones who just blah, blah, blah. The true brethren are the ones who give the money, share the money, the food, and they're willing to give their lives. Like I went to a church here in Arad, and we were supposed to go. So it was a witnessing church, supposedly. They were all sounding the trumpet, sending newsletter to America, collecting money. We are evangelizing. So we had an appointment one Tuesday night. Everybody was going to come. I was going to teach them because I teach people how to witness. I went there, and there were just two girls. One was 12-year-old. The other was 13-year-old. And all the church, all the elders, they all for unknown destination. They all had something more important to do. Nobody came. It was just a bunch of smoke. So this newsletter about evangelizing here is just a way to get dollars over here. False churches. So you know the church I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
I don't like to make names. So there are...
That's good.
So listen.
So how do I discern true brethren and false brethren?
Yeah.
Because you're saying in the end time there will be false brethren.
Yeah. Tell you the way we did here. Like we had a church mission here. And the brethren here, we share our money. I mean, I've done this for 38 years, okay? Always been in missions. In mission, you share your money. Like, brethren don't share their money. Their house is willing to sell a house and share the money for the glory of God, for the evangelists. They're not true brethren. Okay, today there is a false Christianity. They read the Bible according to the reverse version, the opposite. They, you know, instead of sharing, they believe in accumulating. So you need to find brethren who you can trust. And people who have been brainwashed, programmed like a zombie to sit in a church bench every Sunday morning and never go evangelizing, you cannot trust them. They might be maybe a true sincere brother here and a true over there, and a true sincere over there. You say, why, Brother Josie, you're so negative? Why do you think that? Well, when Jesus came, that was the average. Like all the people were tucked in. They were in the synagogues. From the synagogues, barely anybody, nobody followed Jesus from the synagogue. He says in John 12, they believed in Jesus, but they were ashamed of following him for fear of the leaders. Today, most of the religious leaders are false. They just think about Sunday morning collection of money and then power over the people, religious control. So conclusion, make sure you don't get together with false brethren because don't share your money with false brethren. They just take your money, and when you need them, they're not there. You share the money with people who share their money with you. And if somebody doesn't have the money, he can share his work. Like if you share your money, the guy doesn't have any money, he has to share his life, his work, and his time, helping or eating together, like in a convent.
So basically you need to have true love to really be able to work so close with people to basically share your money with them and stuff. Otherwise there are frictions between people because there is selfishness. So
you need submission.
How can we really
work
together?
You need to learn to take correction. You need to work with brethren that you must understand the number one, that you love each other. And then once you understand that the people around you, they love you, then you should submit under them. In fact, like it says in Galatians 6, you need to submit under one another. You understand? So, and then who's going to be the leader? Not the one with the diploma. Because any Pharisee can have a diploma. Come on. Okay, the greatest antichrist religious people in the world, they have diplomas. Diploma is the worst way to say who the leader is. Sadly, that's the way they do today in most churches. The leaders are not the ones who knows how to read and write.
So
and
how do we
diploma.
Know who their leader is?
By the fruits.
Which fruits?
Evangelism, number one. See, everybody loves God. The Pharisees were the number one. And the devil always dresses up like a Catholic and a Protestant. He's the one, holy, holy, hallelujah.
So only worship. Through evangelism?
Once a month, he will wash your feet. He will take communion. He will repeat the blah, blah prayer. The devil can do that.
So only through evangelism I know.
Evangelism is a thermometer.
Only?
You know what evangelism is? Evangelism is the number one thing. Because evangelism means love for the sheep. Evangelism is put in practice the commandment number two. Without the commandment number two, love your neighbor, you don't believe in the commandment number one, love God. Because you cannot love God, you don't see. You don't love your brother, you do see. So how can you love your neighbor? By giving them a plate of food? No, thank you. Tomorrow is hungry again. So money tomorrow is again without money. You love your lost neighbor by giving them the gospel. It doesn't matter if you give money and food to somebody who's going to hell. He will go to hell with a full stomach. You need to give it Jesus Christ, their salvation. That is the number one and number two and number three way to love your neighbor, salvation. If you don't witness, I don't even know if you're a Christian if you don't evangelize. If you don't give the salvation of Jesus, how do you know you have it?
Yes,
so, okay.
Amen.
Okay, so get rid of the false brethren. You're not going to find true brethren in most churches. They just love the church bench, the church tradition. They're worshiping the pastors. It's an idolatry. Today, they're following the pastor instead of Jesus. There are so many false pastors. Most of them are false. Okay? And they teach them to follow them instead of following Jesus without them.
Amen.
If you go and start a little church in your house, they get schizophrenic. Oh, you're dividing my church, my money, Sunday morning. The true pastor is grateful you start a church in your house. He will help you. Jesus said, greater works than me you will do. John 14, 12. A pastor, true pastor from God, he will help you. He will give you money to start a church in your house. It's only false pastors who are jealous. You're dividing my church. My money, Sunday morning, is going to go down. That's a false pastor. A true pastor will be like Jesus. Go into all the world. Get out of this cemetery and preach the gospel. a true pastor will close the cemetery building. I will be the first one to go in the street like Jesus, showing the sheep how to evangelize the lost.
Amen.
Next.
Amen. Brother Joseph, I have some practical questions to put you. But maybe first we'll take a song, a break song, and then I have some practical questions. Okay, we get together, we pray together, but the end time is coming. The mark of the beast is coming. We won't be able to buy and sell. So I would like some practical advice for the brother.
Let me say this real quick in 2 minutes, and then you put a song.
Okay.
I think it's safer. Listen, you need to find a refuge.
What do you mean by finding a refuge?
A place out of the city, because the city will become a hell. Like once if there is a war between Israel and Iran or a war somewhere else, and the petrol doesn't arrive in the city, the fuel, and the there is a terroristic attack, a little war here and there, and the electricity is cut off, and the gas is cut off, the city will become a prison. There have been prophets, Christian prophets, who envisioned that some cities, people will become cannibals. Okay, in the book of Ezekiel, talking about the siege of Jerusalem, Ezekiel chapter 5, it says, the father shall eat the children. The children shall eat their fathers. Cannibalism. And this will come back again. So the cities where today the devil has packed up millions and millions and millions, as soon as the water is contaminated by some atomic radioactive contamination explosion, you cannot drink the water, it's radioactive. And the water is going to be scarce like gold. You know, as soon as there is no food, there is no gas, the cities are going to become a prison. So you need a refuge, okay? And then what else? In this refuge, it should be in a place where you can get out of the city. In fact, the best time to get out of the city is now. Go find a place where you're not depending on the city, electricity, gas, and water, and food from the supermarket. The supermarkets are going to be empty in 3-4 hours, as soon as there's an emergency. And there will not be new food coming in. So find a place where you can have chicken, eat eggs, a place where you can stack up now, prepare now, food, flour, grains, cereal, corn, wheat, things that can last a long time. You think this is crazy. But let me tell you just this. It was only the Jews who took a look, and they were looking at the sky, and they saw the black clouds of the storms of Nazism approaching that left Germany, and they were saved. The Jews were praying to God, God save us. They ended up in Auschwitz. How come God didn't save us? Didn't save them? God didn't save them because salvation of God comes through obedience. Okay, Jesus said in Matthew 10, when they persecute in one city, flee to another. Persecute in one country, flee to another. God's protection is not sitting in your church building and pray that God protects the walls. It's going to fall on your head. God's protection is flee to another city.
So everybody needs to flee now? Is that what you're saying?
Well, get out of the cities.
So everybody needs to get out of the city?
The Christians.
So all the Christians need to go out of the cities?
99% will not, because they're disobedient, they're virgin without oil.
Okay, but if somebody wants to really be protected to the end, now they need to get out of the city?
Now is the time to sell. Sell your house, get out of the city, because soon you cannot sell it anymore. You see, there is a financial crisis, everybody is going to start selling, and you cannot sell anymore.
But now, why are you saying it's better to get out of the city, to be protected in the end time?
In the city, I already told you before, it's going to be like prison. There won't be gas, electricity, the supermarkets are going to be empty.
And is it God's will for everybody to get out of the city?
Yes. Yes, it's time to get out. At least you can stay in the city for evangelism, but try to live out. Or have a place that you can go out at the drop of a hat. Okay? That's it.
Okay, so besides having a refuge, getting out of the city and having a refuge, okay, I have a refuge, so how do I survive there in the end time? Because the mark of the beast is coming.
Yeah, I already told you. You have to prepare food.
And? Only food?
Well, you have to prepare food and everything, and you have to learn to worship God in your church, you make a church wherever you are, and then the mark of the beast is coming. You see, like this kind of messages, they're the same exactly, like when Jeremiah was preaching to Israel that Israel was going to be destroyed. But all the other prophets, all without exception in Israel, every priest, every prophet, they were saying that he was a false prophet. Okay,
we'll take a break with a song. God bless you. God bless you, dear brethren. We are back again. Brother Joseph, any more practical suggestions for the end time preparation?
Well, I think I gave you the main things. Be careful of false brethren, all right? And prepare a refuge outside the cities, because it's going to be, right now, imagine we're like the Jews when Hitler was taking control. You see, it takes time to sell your house and relocate in a different place. If you want to stay in a city, just stay in a city just because you want to evangelize and stuff. But I tell you, if you're going to be like a sleeping some Sunday morning church, I think you're not going to be prepared. Because there are so many false prophets in the churches. Okay, so be careful. They're going to deceive you. Okay, they say everything is fine. God will protect us. It sounds so good. That is that what the false prophet was telling Israel in the days of Jeremiah. The true prophets today are not saying everything is fine. God is powerful. God will protect us. So trust in God. They're just deceiving you. God will protect you if you obey. Jesus said, flee to another city. You know, in Luke 21, Jesus is talking about when you see Jerusalem surrounded by army, then flee. Look at verse 20 and 21. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by army, 21, then flee to the mountains. All right? And let them which are in the midst depart of it. Okay, in the midst of Jerusalem, depart from it. Okay, these are the days of vengeance, etc. So it's like the cities, that's where the devil is more in control. So if you want to go to the city, go to evangelize. But have a place like at the first something goes wrong, it's a place you can go and hide, you know, hide out. Now, will everybody have to leave? People are not going to leave because 99% of the Christians are deceived. They don't believe that the Antichrist is coming. They believe they're all going to be raptured, drink Coca-Cola in heaven or something. Well, it's not going to happen.
So how do I know where God wants me to leave, to make refuge? How can I know God's place?
Well, you have to pray. Like everybody, God will tell everybody what place. Like he told Noah, build an ark. He told Abraham, get out of your country, go to the promised land. It's like he told Joseph and Mary, get out of Israel, go to Egypt. Herod wants to kill you. It's like it's always God's. If you read Hebrews 11, God's children, they're always moving around. It's only the dead Christians who don't move. The Christians worshiping possessions, worshiping career, worshiping diplomas. Today, 99% of the Christian church is into idolatry, worshiping diploma, worshiping the world, worshiping everything the world has except following Jesus. 99.99% of the Christians, they're not evangelizing. They're disobedient. They're Laodicea. They will be destroyed. Only the exception. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a man looking for pearls. The kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. It's like the virgins with oil, the wise virgins, the Philadelphia, they're like the exceptions. 99% today are Laodicea. But just look around at the churches. They're not evangelizing. They're not reaching the lost. They're just there sitting, singing songs in the benches like the Pharisees were doing. There are sincere Christians, but they're trapped into a false system because the pastors are telling them, if you get out of this building, you go to hell. And why do they believe? They believe that because they don't love Jesus. They don't love Jesus, so they don't study the Bible. They don't study the Bible, so they don't understand that the pastors are preaching false doctrines. You will never know if your pastor is false if you don't know the Bible. And you don't know the Bible because you don't love God. Why you don't study the Bible? Because you don't love the Bible. The only Bible you know is what the pastor is telling you. And most pastors today are false. Most pastors are Pharisees. Most pastors, they just have a diploma, but they don't go on the streets and reach the lost. They only preach the gospel to the ones who are already believers. Why? Because that's where they get the money from, mercenaries. The true pastors are in the streets like Jesus, reaching the lost. So I'm saying this to motivate you. Don't let this false pastor scare you to hell. Get out of these synagogues. You know, you can be a church everywhere you go. Now, prepare a refuge. Most cities are going to become hell on earth. That's where the mark of the beast is going to be number one powerful. Well, look here in Romania. In the cities in Romania, they're very, very antichrist. If you go to the villages, you find nice people. In the cities, they all want to be like Americans. They're all worshiping money, worshiping materialism, worshiping cars, worshiping sex, worshiping pornography, worshiping TV. I mean, look, the cities in Romania, they become as antichrist as in the West. You go to the villages, people are still real. People still stop in the street and listen about Jesus. Here in the city, like I'm getting out of, the Lord called us to get out of Romania. You know, in a few weeks, we're going to be out of Europe. The Lord is calling us to go to South America. We are leaving. Our place is in South America. But that doesn't mean everybody has to come to South America. You're like, maybe God is calling you to stay where you are. Depends where you are. Not in a big city. If you want to stay, if you work in a big city, okay, keep working, but prepare a place out of the city. So when your city becomes like a hell, there is no food, there is no water, or whatever is going to be. Some city is going to be like that. Then you have a place where to go, where you can have chicken, you can have food, you can grow potatoes, tomatoes. Prepare your tools. Okay, money, paper money, get the money out of the bank if you have any.
Paper. And if I have debts, what do I do?
Sell what you have and pay your debts, because the people with debts are going to become slaves. Okay, the people with debts are going to be slaves of the system. Sell. Don't buy houses. Sell. Okay? If you have a house, sell it and buy a caravan, a roulotte. Buy a shack in the countryside and grow potatoes. Have some chickens. Dress up like John the Baptist. Oh, Brother Joseph, you're so radical. Well, wait until when they kill you and they put the mark of the beast on your children. And then we'll talk about it. I am radical, yes.
What about the banks? We are expecting a financial collapse. Can I keep my money in the bank though after I sell my possessions?
Absolutely no. Paper money is not going to be worth the paper is not printing on. Now the money is just computer numbers. They don't even have paper because the paper is too expensive. Even the paper is worth more than the money. They don't print any more money. Now they have credit cards and the little numbers on computer. That's what the money today. It's based not on gold. It's based on debt. Get out of the bank. The bank is the greatest mafia association ever existed. That's why you don't see mafia in the street shooting like Al Capone, because they all moved in the banks and in most governments.
So if I don't keep my money in the bank, what do I do after I sell? You're saying to sell.
Well, for a time, gold is going to be good for a time. There's going to be a stage where gold is going to go up. The gold that is worth now 100 soon is going to be worth 1,000 and 2,000. And the paper money is going to be worth less and less and less, because it's paper, okay? And so gold is going to be good, you know, gold. But don't put your trust in that, because the day is coming where gold is going to be illegal. After the Great Depression in 1929 in America, President Roosevelt made the possessions of gold illegal. You went to jail 10 years if you had gold. So you have to be careful. Also, that is going to be illegal. So don't stack up so much gold, because you cannot eat gold either. Understand? So prepare a refuge somewhere, wherever you want. Even pull a little caravan in some piece of land, but where there is try to have water, a well of water. You need to have water, food, shelter, and cooking facilities. If you live in a place where it's cold, below zero, you better prepare some good clothes and some wood and an axe to chop a wood to go at night, cut some trees. And the Antichrist is not going to allow you, so you have to go at night and cut some trees to so you don't freeze to death. You know, I tell you, it's going to be hell on earth. If you don't believe me, just read Matthew 24. Jesus said there shall be great tribulation like it was never before. So you see, the false prophets are telling the Christian, don't worry, we're going to be raptured. That's a lie of the devil. You are not going to be raptured. You're going to be killed. You're going to receive the mark of the beast if you're not saved. Your children, and if you're saved, they want to give it to your children. How would you like your children? You see, this false prophet say, oh, if I die, I go to heaven. You're not going to go to heaven. You may go to hell if you die. What if you get the mark of the beast? It's not going to be anymore you die. Now it's the mark of the beast. It would be so easy to die. It won't be so easy. In Revelation 9, it says, they shall seek death and not find it. They're going to come, I want to put the mark of the beast on your children. What in the world are you going to do, you deceived one, disobedient Christians who didn't want to put the oil in your lamp when you could. Now, the time is going to come, you wish you had some oil in your lamp. oil of obedience. Another Adolf Hitler is coming. It's called the Antichrist. Another Nazism is coming. It's called the one world government of the Antichrist. Your money that you now worship is going to be worth less than toilet paper, understand? It's going to be worth nothing. Go ahead. You can make fun of me like they were making fun of Noah building the ark. Make fun of me. But I have a chapter for you to read. Proverbs chapter 1. Okay, you be careful that you're not laughing to God, because God is going to laugh to you. And when you come and knock on the door like those foolish virgin, Jesus is going to say, I don't know you, get out of here. He's talking about you. You who are listening to this message, you are not going to obey. He's talking about you. All right. Anything else, sister?
No. Thank you, Brother Joseph.
God bless you.
So, to make a resume, prepare spiritually, meet with true brethren in your house, and prepare physically as well, because hard times are coming.
Get out of the cities. Cities will be hell on earth. Do you understand? Get out of the city. Get out. Go. I don't know. Not everybody has to go to the same place. You might have to get out of... You might have to go to another city, to another region, to another nation, to another country. I don't know. The Lord told me to go to South America. Fine, that's me. Okay, but you, not everybody has to go to Italy, Romania, Africa, Australia. You have to find out where. For sure, I can prophesy to you from God. Get out of the cities. Sell your shoes. Sell your hat. Jesus said, sell your coat and buy a sword. Jesus said in Luke 22, sell your clothes and buy a sword. Oh, but God is going to protect me. Oh, Domnul, Lord in heaven. Well, Lord in heaven. The Lord is telling you, sell what you have and take off. Do you understand? You don't want to listen? Ciao. When the mark of the beast comes around, it won't be long. It won't be long. Okay. I know I'm like John the Baptist preaching to the desert, to the camels, and to the scorpions, and people don't want to listen. And the false prophets are just making fun of me. Go ahead, make fun of me. Make fun of me. They made fun of Jeremiah. They made fun of Noah. They made fun of Jesus. We'll see how this story will end. We'll see if you get raptured before the tribulation. I think that's one of the greatest lies of Satan, the rapture before the tribulation. There is no rapture before the tribulation, my dear. There is a mark of the beast coming.
Brethren, write us and we will send you the studies about the rapture. Please do.
I have so many teaching about the rapture. Write in and tune in. It's scripture after scripture. There's no theory, there is no opinion, nothing. Just scripture after scripture after scripture. The rapture is after tribulation. Tribulation is coming, not the rapture. God never took his people away from tribulation. He protected them through tribulation. The early church for 300 years, they went through 10 tribulations. 10 major tribulations in 300 years. Why? He loves us. We are doing so much better than the early church who conquered the world. And now the modern church lost the world. And God is going to protect us through a rapture, which he didn't do with the early church, who were a million times better than we. False prophets, may God rebuke you and punish you accordingly, and he will. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless the obedient ones. Amen. I'm speaking to you, Philadelphia. Listen. Study the word. Study the Bible with your eyes. Don't listen to your false prophets. In Jesus' name, study the book of Jeremiah. Study the prophets. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Matthew 24, Jesus, Luke 21, Luke 17, Mark 13, the book of Revelation, chapter 11, 12, 13. Study the word. Don't be disobedient and lazy, a virgin without oil, depending on the Sunday morning drug from somebody preaching to you whatever they want. You understand the Bible. You understand Jesus. You ask Jesus for the Holy Spirit. Stop being a handicap with a pacifier in your mouth. That if somebody doesn't preach the gospel this Sunday morning, you are the greatest ignorant in the world. You believe whatever the pastor is preaching? Most of them false prophets? Like in Jeremiah's days. Come on.
In fact,
anything else, sister?
I was wondering, Brother Joseph, should we say a prayer for the Holy Spirit with the brethren who don't have it and an anointing, full anointing of the Holy Spirit for those
Let's
who have
go.
It?
In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray right now, anybody listening to this message who does not want the mark of the beast, who does not want to be deceived by false pastors, who really wants to know what the truth is. Jesus, you said in Matthew 24 so many times, and in Mark 13 and Luke 21, you kept repeating one thing over and over. They will try to deceive you. Beware of false prophets, false Christ preached in the churches. So, Lord Jesus, I pray for anybody here who wants to know the truth directly from you, that they receive the Holy Spirit now. You who are listening, get on your knees. Get on your knees in front of Jesus now. Say, Jesus. Jesus, I don't know what the truth is. I don't know. Show me. Open my heart. Show me. I don't want the mark of the beast. I don't want the Antichrist to come here and give the mark of the beast, try to force it on my children like they were forcing Nazism on those Jews in Germany. I don't want it to happen. Show me the truth. So fill me with the Holy Spirit. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I receive the Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' name, I receive them. Amen. Now, anybody here who received the Holy Spirit, remember, you're going to be as disobedient as anybody else if you don't obey. Okay, you're going to be as off the track. You're going to be as deceived as many of the people who I know, they speak in tongues of the Holy Spirit, they do healing, and they're so disobedient. They're so deceived because they don't obey. If you don't start obeying the word of God, the Bible, your Holy Spirit is going to be good for nothing. It doesn't matter if you're Pentecostal or Baptist or Catholic, what you are, what you think you are. If you don't obey the gospel, the word, your Holy Spirit is good for nothing. Because it says in Acts chapter 5, the Holy Spirit is given to them who obey. So you disobey, the Holy Spirit goes back to God. You go in a house, it says in Luke, in Luke chapter 10, it says, go in a house, and the house is not worthy, the peace will go back to you. You say the Holy Spirit, but if you're disobedient, the anointing goes back to God. Not salvation, but the Holy Spirit, yes. The anointing, yes. Until when? Until you decide to obey. So be careful about receiving the Holy Spirit and continue in doing nothing. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen. I'm not here to tell jokes. For this, you can go to your false prophets. I'm here to wake you up. Wake up.
Amen.
Wake up.
Amen.
Oh, when they will kill your children. Oh, when your children will see the mark of the beast. Oh, you will cry tears like blood then. And God is won't be able to do anything for you because you didn't obey when you could have. How do you know I'm not a false prophet? How do you know that what I'm saying is false or truth? You go to Jesus. How could Israel know that just Jeremiah was telling the truth and millions of others were lying? How did they know that everybody was preaching that God was going to protect them? The false prophet preaching that. And the true prophet preaching destruction against God's people. The true prophet preaching that God was going to destroy his nation. The Jews and the false prophet preaching, God will protect us. God is powerful. God loves us. How could they have known if Jeremiah was a false prophet or true? How do you know if I am a false prophet or true prophet? Jeremiah said, chapter 29, verse 13, God said, Jeremiah 29, 13. He says, you shall find me when you shall seek for me with your whole heart. That was the key. They were supposed to get on their knees and say, God, Is Jeremiah true prophet or false? So go ask God. God, is brother Joseph a false prophet or true prophet? God, I need to know. My pastor is a true prophet or a false prophet? If you go to sleep without praying this prayer, you deserve to be deceived. Like God said in 2 Thessalonians 2. Because they love not the truth, God sent them. I say God sent, not the devil. God sent them strong delusion, a lie, that they be deceived and believe a lie and be condemned, damned, and judged. God bless you and wake up. I don't think you'll be able to listen to this message every day, much less to go to sleep at night, peaceful at night. This is a message not for them to go to sleep at night, but to wake up in the morning. And I hope this will wake you up to a new morning, a new day, a new life, a new future, a change in your life for Jesus. Sell your idols. Sell your devils. Sell your idol house. Sell your idol second house. Sell your idol piece of land. Sell your idol bicycle. And by God's will, go evangelizing. Follow Jesus. All you need is a pair of sandals and a Bible. And maybe some potatoes to eat once in a while. But if you do that, God will provide for you. Because it's written in Revelation 12, 6 and 14. God will take care of Philadelphia. God will take care of his people. For the whole length of the tribulation, 3.5 years, Revelation 12, 6 and 14, God will give food to his church miraculously, like he did Elijah, like he did to his prophet Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, parallel of the tribulation. He take care of Elijah for 3.5 years, like he will take care of his church, the woman, his bride, for 3.5 years. So you obey, and God will not going to give you potatoes. God will take care of you. You have nothing to worry because you are Philadelphia. You are the bride. If one doesn't take care of his own, is worse than the infidel. If Jesus is not going to take care of us, those of us among us who are obedient, Jesus is going to be worse than an infidel. But because he's not, because he's faithful, he will take care of his bride, of his church, of the virgin with oil. But you who listen and you don't give a, you don't care about what to study the Bible, you don't care about fasting and praying, you don't care about getting desperate and fast until you find the truth and see who the false prophets are here, who the true prophets are. If you don't care about that, you deserve to be deceived. You deserve the mark of the beast. So choose now. Choose. In Jesus' name. Where are going to be your pastors when the mark of the beast comes? Where are they going to be when the rapture doesn't come and then the Christ comes? All these Laodicea pastors, where are they going to be? A lot of them, I'll tell you where they're going to be with the mark of the beast. Wake up. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, amen and amen. What else can I say? Is there anything else, sister? God bless you. I love you. Praise God. Now, you have my email. Send all your critiquing if you want, your criticism and your insult. Send also your love, your encouragement. Usually I get more insults than encouragement. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah. A good scripture you can read, Luke 21, 34 to 36. It says, to escape all these things, Jesus says, talking about the entire the tribulation, you have to watch and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape these things.
Escape through the rapture or what?
No. What rapture?
So what kind of escape?
Well, like it says in Revelation 12, like go into the wilderness, be protected. Understand? So the rapture is a general thing. Everybody gets raptured. But then he says, pray that you be, watch and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape. So it's not that you can choose the rapture or not, like some false prophets are saying. is like watch and pray. Why? Because it says in the same chapter, Luke 21, when you see Jerusalem surrounded, flee, go somewhere else, hide, and watch and pray. Understand? Because there is no rapture, you have to, I mean, if there is rapture, you don't have to pray to escape these things. You just have to be saved. Okay? To be raptured, you don't have to pray. You just have to be saved. You see, I never pray, Lord Jesus, help me to go to heaven. Do you pray like that?
No.
Do you ever hear any? I mean, if you are saved, you know, if you are saved, you are saved. Pray that you may be kind worthy to escape these things. It doesn't say worthy to be raptured. Worthy to escape these things. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.